Hello and welcome to this podcast from the Business Marketing Club, or BMC. I'm Dave Stevens, I'm a business marketer, and I'm chair and co-founder of the BMC. The Business Marketing Club is a not-for-profit community network of business marketing professionals and people interested in business marketing. It's run by business marketers for business marketers, and we provide face-to-face and virtual event meetups, training, podcasts, blogs, newsletters, mentoring, social media groups, community groups, and gatherings for business marketers. Today, we've got almost 5,000 participants across the world. If this is the first time you've joined us, you're very welcome. Check us out at businessmarketingclub.org.uk. But if you've been with us before, well, welcome back. It's good to have you along again. In this episode, I'll be talking about journey mapping with Creative Director at Six, Dickon Langdon, with B2B Marketing Consultant, Tom Ray, with Chief Customer Experience Officer at AdCura, Annette Curlin, with Marketing Manager at Operis, Anae Bressel, and with Director at Momentum, Sandra Fazakali. Today, we continue our A to Z of business marketing. We're looking to give a primer on the very latest thinking, practices, and practical examples on every big topic in B2B land. And we've reached J, and J stands for journey mapping. And we've got five experts who will talk on the topic today, starting with Chief Customer Experience Officer at AdCura, Annette Curlin. Annette, welcome to the podcast, and over to you.
Hi, and thanks for the introduction, Dave. So, as Dave said, I'm going to talk about customer journeys today, what they are, why they're important, and how you might go about building your own customer journey framework. By using this approach, you should be able to create a win-win, both for yourselves and for your customers. So, as Dave said, I currently work at AdCura. I'm the Chief Customer Experience Officer. I run the business consulting practice there, and our business is basically to do implementations of omnichannel customer decisioning. So this is all about working out the way to join up the customer experience across channels using AI and modelling to help us to create relevance using a technology by a company called Pegasystems. So I've worked across many different sectors and businesses to develop a customer-centric strategy with the businesses that I work together with. And hopefully I can share some of the useful things that I've learned over the last 20 years with you, and they might help you on your journey. So I see customer experience as all things relating to a business that affects a customer's perceptions and feelings about it. So it's about the relationship between yourselves and your customers across every single point of interaction. So why is it so important? Why does everybody have this top of their agenda as something they feel they need to excel in? Well, not everybody, but a lot of businesses do. But the needs and tastes of consumers today are rapidly evolving. They're sophisticated, and with increased multiplicity and customers expecting to do more that involves interacting with all of their senses, they want immersion, they want to be involved in new experiences, and they want businesses to go the whole range and to properly engage with them. In terms of pragmatically what that means, they want to be known. They expect you to recognize them. They expect you to talk to them wherever they are, whichever channel or journey or product they're using. And they value empowered problem solvers. So they want you to go the extra mile for them. So whilst it's clear that we now have more data than ever about customers, how much real-time intelligence is actually available? And how do you prioritize what's important? And how, importantly, can you make this insight actionable for your customers? So we need to consolidate the crucial insights you have about your customers and organize it in such a way that it's available and accessible whenever required. So customer journeys are a really useful way to encapsulate these interactions, to create a common language in your business and a lens into the needs and wants of your customers, and to drive mutual value, which is the ultimate goal. There are lots of different interpretations and definitions of customer journeys. I always describe the journeys in customer language and talk about how we develop them through the customer lens. So in terms of some of the principles around building a customer journey framework, this is in essence a visual representation of the journey. So I think typically it's a good idea to start with the customer need. So rather than thinking about the product and channel, think about the types of things your customers might want to have. So a customer need might be a hygiene factor, such as I need to be connected easily. Or it might be a want factor, i.e. it might be that they want to be rewarded for their loyalty. The journey should span all the touch points for product or service. So it's about setting up the needs of the customer so that initially when you develop your framework is product and service agnostic. Once you've developed your journeys and the needs of the customer within each of those journeys, you can then overlay how you execute different products across it and how you drive that consistency and relevance. When you do the overlay, you can also start thinking about where and how you might want to differentiate in terms of the customer experience and start to get more of that cut through versus your competitors. So in terms of the journey framework that I developed over the last few years that I've worked in this industry, in my experience, there are typically roughly 12 customer journeys. I've worked in lots of different industries and territories, and actually there's often very little variation in the core journeys. It's all about how you execute them with your products and services. So the journeys could span from initial awareness and desire to purchase through to using products and services, getting help as and when required, changing and or upgrading the product or service you have. But it also includes things like complaint and eventually exit, because these are all important interactions for the customer. Then within each of the journeys, you'd expect to have 3 to 5 steps which build up to enable delivery of that journey. So for example, when a customer has purchased a product, there'll be steps involved in getting set up and using it. And when those steps are complete, the journey and the needs would then be satisfied. It's also important to note that customers might be in more than one journey at the same time. So for example, they might be getting help from customer services whilst also considering using certain features of the product. So as a consequence, you need to be able to identify which journeys they're in, what their needs are ideally within those journeys, and then you'll have some choices to make about how you engage with and treat the customer. So you might want to think about how you manage that prioritisation, for example, of the communication. What do you want to say and how do you want to say it? So whilst customer journeys don't represent processes, by creating your own customer journey framework, this can become a tool and mechanism to help you to drive a connected and seamless customer experience. Once you've mapped out your journeys and the needs within each journey, a good next step is to identify the key moments of truth for customers. So those interactions with your brand and products, which will make or break your engagement with your customers. You can use whatever data sources you have available to do this. So this might include customer feedback, brand and complaint data, and any insights you and your business have about what customers value. Once you know what these moments of truth are, this can help you to prioritise where you focus your efforts within the journeys to enhance the customer experience. If you get these critical touchpoint moments right, your customers will be much happier, they'll use your products and services more, they'll stay longer, and they'll potentially advocate your brand. And consequently, that should significantly boost your financial performance. So this should mean potentially increased sales, reduced costs, and the creation of much greater customer lifetime value. So, for the next step, the next question then is, how do we go about getting these moments of truth right? It's useful to think about 4 areas. The first one is about communication. What you say and how you say it and how you create consistent, effective and relevant dialogue is crucial. One mechanism for creating this type of dialogue is real-time customer decisioning. So this is about saying the right thing at the right time in the right channel, but connecting up the conversation across the channels. So we work extensively with an organisation called Pegasystems, and we implement their decisioning software. In essence, it's an omnichannel decisioning software where you put the customer at the heart of the customer experience and start to link up the different conversations you're having with them in and out of the inbound and outbound channels. By using the data you have about customers, you can understand what they need. And in whatever format you have in your own capability, you can start to use AI and analytics to determine what you want to say and to prioritise and make relevant the message. Secondly, you can consider the supporting processes for the interactions. So once you have your moments of truth and your priorities, make sure that the supporting processes across your products and channels are effective and work seamlessly to deliver to the customer's needs. Thirdly, of course, you'll need the right tools and capabilities to be able to drive the execution of this approach. And then lastly, there's the magic touch of your customer-facing staff, if you do have customer-facing staff. So they need to have insight into what the customers need too, and the KPIs, trainings and incentives to make sure they're focused on the right customer and business outcomes. So when you consider these priorities from the customer journey framework, you can assess how you're performing by measuring things such as NPS, customer satisfaction, and the commercial metrics of sales, cost, and retention across the journey framework. So to summarise, customer journeys, be clear about what your customers' needs are, encapsulate those needs in your own journey framework, and use all your insight about the customers to deliver an outstanding customer experience and reap the rewards, as will they. So that's it. Thank you very much.
You've made it sound really simple. Annette Cullen, thank you very much.
That's quite all right.
Our second journey mapping expert is B2B marketing consultant, Tom Ray. Tom, welcome to the podcast and over to you.
Thank you very much indeed. So, I've been asked to talk about customer journey mapping. So I'll get stuck in. To start with, what is it? A customer journey map is a visual representation of all the experiences your customers have with your brand. It tells a story beginning with the first engagement and hopefully ending with a long-term loyal relationship. At first, a customer journey map might appear simple. The steps toward making a purchase might seem linear. You offer a product or service your customer wants, they find it, and then they buy it. In reality, however, it just doesn't work that way most of the time. I took the following quote from Forbes. They say customers experience roadblocks, dead ends, and frustration in their journey. The more friction we put in front of potential customers, the less likely they are to complete the journey. So, real customer journeys are less rigid and more choose your own adventure. Prospects might find your brand via an internet search, a social media ad, or even a billboard. They might engage with your brand in several different ways, such as subscribing to an e-newsletter, download an ebook, follow you on LinkedIn before they make a purchase. They'll almost certainly visit your website more than once as well. So next, what's my view of its value? Well, firstly, I want to quote someone from Web Insights who stated, "Every successful marketer understands the value of personalization, but scaling personalization and delivering truly bespoke customer journeys is a different ballgame entirely. It's an area where a number of organizations fall short." Now, that quote to me demonstrates the complexity of customer journey mapping. My view is, quite simply, it's priceless, because it's about gaining a greater understanding of both the logical and emotional decision-making processes your clients and customers take at every stage of the sales funnel. So having a detailed and accurate picture of that journey is a rare commodity for any business to have. So how to do it well? For me, it's about identifying customer needs and creating relevant buyer journeys. We have a tendency to reinvent the most fundamental marketing models. But the one I always begin with is ADA, awareness, interest, desire, and action, and then tailor this to suit the target audiences. The customer journey map is a lot like the sales funnel. You need customers to consistently move forward. Content which is accurately mapped to the customer journey allows your company to steer conversations rather than react to the conversations. An example of who does it well would be World Courier. They're an AmerisourceBergen company which specializes in medical logistics for global clinical trials and the commercial supply chain. I actually know the company very well and saw firsthand how they decided to approach their customer journey. They had a wealth of content for their target audiences. And over time, this growing library meant that a thorough review was required and a better alignment with customer needs across the buyer journey and sales pipeline. So the initial stage was for us to conduct a thorough portfolio audit across all sales materials and marketing insights, deciding which content we should either keep or to review or to archive indefinitely, based on its relevance and effectiveness. The next stage was content analysis, which we approached by holding interactive workshops with each service line director, discussing specific aspects of their business. That ranged from customer pain points, such as cost, timescale, capacity, their key stakeholders in the supply chain, their goals, activities and obstacles, their differentiators. Are they unique? Are they valuable? Are they proven? And also competitive analysis and positioning. This paved the way for creating new content as well. So finally came sales enablement. We took our audit and analysis work and invested in a bespoke software platform to match specific content to stages of the customer journey. And this supported sales teams in their day-to-day interactions, avoiding the all too familiar problems of version control and having to wade through an endless number of files and folders to find the appropriate sales materials. It also integrated with the company's existing CRM system, creating a more robust and consistent approach to handling new business inquiries, managing the lead conversion process, and maintaining customer loyalty. So what are the latest trends in it? Well, customer journey mapping is essential in the modern day marketplace because people interact with brands multiple times on a variety of platforms. Consumers have shifted from offline to online, and so too have marketing budgets. Further to this, offline advertising efforts have taken an online dimension. Scannable QR codes, for example, and calls to action that encourage prospects to download an app. Digital interactions produce a whole lot of data, as we all know. And if a modern day business is to safeguard its future, it must use this data wisely. So customer journey mapping is a way to bring disparate sets of data into one place to produce a story that's based on emotion, but also backed by evidence and numbers. So moving on, the main pitfall to avoid for me is underestimating how complex and critical a process this can be. It does take time. So any attempt to avoid crucial steps in creating an accurate customer journey will prove costly. And getting down to the exact details is not easy, but absolutely essential if it's to stand the test of time. So finally, how to get started. You want to shape the best possible experience for your customers, and you know that creating a customer journey map is vital to this objective. So a few tips to keep in mind as you kick things off. Include every single point of possible customer interaction on your map. This means every point of potential exposure to your brand, including things like events, printed ads, local business directories, social platforms, email campaigns, and so on. Secondly, overlay quantitative elements from multiple sources, such as web analytics and CRM software, and this should provide insight into what's working and when, as well as what's causing friction, actually. But also, don't forget about the post-purchase journey. That's vital. Your relationship with a customer should never end. So it's important to track activities after the conversion to highlight obstacles and opportunities that foster repeat business. My final point is to take note of how you portray your customer experience and benchmark the reality against any promises you've made. For example, many brands claim to provide a seamless experience, but look at the words you're using to describe not just your service, but the experience a customer can expect when interacting with all of your brand's assets.
Tom Ray, thank you very much. Our next guest is Dickon Langdon, who is Creative Director at Six. Dickon, welcome to the podcast, and over to you.
Great. Thanks, Dave. What is a journey map? Brands and products and services come to life as a holistic experience made up of a sequence of micro moments across different touch points over time. By definition, a journey map is a visualization of the process that a person goes through in order to accomplish a goal. In its most basic form, journey mapping starts by compiling a series of a person's actions into a timeline. The timeline is then fleshed out with a person's thoughts and emotions in order to create a narrative. This narrative is condensed and polished, ultimately leading into a visualization used to communicate insights that will inform the creative process. We've found journey mapping to be a really useful tool that helps us and our clients create relevant and timely interactions for their audiences. Done successfully, it reveals opportunities to address pain points, alleviate fragmentation, and ultimately create a better experience for our chosen audience. We all know that the secret of good comedy is timing. So as a creative team, journey mapping gives us the background and context that opens up the door for us to tell a funny joke. It doesn't write and deliver the jokes, we still have to do that, but it sets them up. Simply because of the way many organizations are structured today, they have a siloed and fragmented understanding of what their customers or clients are really feeling or wanting. This is because many businesses' business objectives are assigned and measured per department or group, rather than being driven by audience needs. And when this happens, it's extremely challenging to remember that there's real life human beings at the other end of all of this, trying to make sense of what we're offering. So to be successful, it's essential to piece together the entire experience from the audience's standpoint. Creating this shared vision is a critical aim of journey mapping, because without it, agreement on how to improve customer experience would never take place, because the people doing the solving simply won't know what they're trying to solve. As a creative director, I want to help my team make holistic creative decisions that are driven by the audience needs. This is good for the audience and our clients. That's not to say the business needs go out of the window. There's definitely a balance to be struck with what the audience wants and what the business is trying to do. In addition to this, from a wider organizational point of view, the actual process of journey mapping can redefine business needs, because when you bring together and visualize disparate data points, you will see new and surprising connections within an organization that can engage otherwise disinterested stakeholders and spur collaborative conversation and change. So how do you journey map? You're basically using storytelling and visualization to convey information in a way that is memorable, concise, and creates a shared vision. Think of them like a storyboard for a film, which helps the crew doing the shoot, the actors and the editors to understand the big picture of what the film is about and what the filmmaking process is trying to achieve. From a creative point of view, we have also found that it's a fantastic way to make sure that our choices are driven by the audience needs rather than an individual's vision or an idea of what the right thing is to do. So most journey maps follow a similar format. At the top, you have specific user needs, a scenario, and corresponding expectations and goals of the user. In the middle, you have high-level phases that are comprised of user actions, thoughts, and emotions. And then at the bottom, most importantly, the takeaways, which are the opportunities, insights, and internal ownerships to act on these opportunities. There are some core components that you'll need to make in order to make it, that you'll need to have in order to make a good journey map. Firstly, an actor. The actor is a person or the people experiencing the journey, which usually we usually build these using empathy maps, and their motivations play a key role in shaping who they are. For example, if we were doing a journey map for a museum, you would identify a visitor as an actor. You'd find out quite quickly that you'd need to do different maps for different types of visitors, and you'd also need to do a map for the staff members as well, so you can see the relationship between them. But at a basic level, the visitor would be the core actor. Secondly, you'd need to look at a scenario and expectations. The scenario describes a situation that the journey map addresses and is associated with the needs and expectations of the actor. So for example, the museum visitor we mentioned above is coming from out of town. They want to see the latest showpiece exhibit at the museum, and they also want to have lunch at the museum. Journey phases. So journey phases are the different high level stages in the journey that help us organize the journey map. So for instance, our museum visitor, they would be from the research and through to evaluation and advocacy. Fourthly, you'd need to look at actions, mindsets, and emotions. These are the behaviors, thoughts, and feelings the actor has throughout the journey and are mapped within each of the journey phases we talked about above. So actions are the actual behaviors and steps taken by the actors. Mindsets correspond to the actors' thoughts, questions, motivations, and information needs at different stages in the journey. Emotions are plotted as a single line in the journey phases, literally signaling the emotional ups and downs as they feel them through the experience. And lastly, opportunities. Opportunities are insights gained from mapping. They point to how the holistic experience can be optimized in the future. So the pitfalls of journey mapping, I think the big one is doing a journey map requires investment and the results aren't instant. So you need to keep your expectations in check. They are often quite a large investment, because the results aren't instant, you will see the benefits over time, but they aren't an instant win. We've also found that journey mapping is best done in combination with other mapping techniques, such as wider experience mapping, which you can think of as a parent of journey mapping, and service blueprint design, which is the child of journey mapping. Beyond that, the benefits, we have seen organizations completely transform and plan for the future using a well-made journey map. So much so that we've had CEOs print them and frame them, put them on the walls of the office so that the entire company can navigate their decisions around the end user, which has been very beneficial for their company. And you can break the benefits of journey maps down into two main core features. That's awareness and alignment. So firstly, the process of creating a map forces conversation and an aligned mental model for the whole team. Secondly, the shared artifact resulting from the mapping can be used to communicate an understanding of your audience to all involved. So you can shift an organization's perspective from inside out to outside in. So journey mapping sheds light on real human experiences that often organizations know very little about. You can break down silos to create one shared organization-wide vision. You can assign ownership of key touch points to internal departments, and you can target specific customers because you'll know the context into which the whole journey that a user is going through rather than an individual siloed moment. And lastly, you can better understand quantitative data. So if you're aware that through analytics that something is going wrong, for instance, in your e-commerce sales journey or utilization of a tool that you've built, it can help you figure out why. We believe that journey mapping is part of a key trend, and that is the rise of user-centricity and empathy within business communications, or the humanization of B2B communications. It's a natural evolution of how we do business in a more compassionate, thoughtful, and effective way, and it can only spell for a brighter future for everybody.
Dick and Langdon, thank you very much. Our fourth journey mapping expert is the marketing manager at Operis, Anais Brel. Anais, welcome to the podcast, and over to you.
Hi, Dave. Thanks for having me on the podcast. So customer journey mapping, what it is? It is the process of visually tracing the path of a personal segment that they make to make a purchase decision. So you generally are looking at the different steps, interaction with your brand, a persona has. So following the various stages of the sales funnel, from awareness to consideration to purchase and after sale. For me, it's a very good exercise for any business to invest some time and efforts in, as it helps you to evaluate the role and performance of the different channels, your different pieces of content, and also it will help you identify areas that need more attention. So then you can focus your strategy on eliminating bottlenecks and improving your flow of leads. How do you do it well? Well, first thing is not a one-time fix. It's not a one-time exercise and you've mapped your journey and you can go away. It's like any project, you need to first plan it, then you implement, you evaluate your journey, you analyze the data, and then you action it, and then you adapt and you go back again. Because the purpose is to improve your customer journey. So ideally you improve it, then you go back and see, is there another area you can improve on? You also rely on the data, both internal and external ones. So you'll speak to your sales team to understand a bit more of your customer and how they see, how they see the customer going through the different stages. But you also ask your own customer and maybe some prospect that you've lost on the way. Ideally, you want to check a bit of your competitors who hasn't signed up to someone's newsletter and see what the competitor is doing in terms of content, how they take you from awareness to a client. So that's how I think you do it well. Who does it well? As many marketers, I will say hotspots, but somehow it's kind of there. Isn't it, their value proposition, and they're all their bats. They're helping you to take your leads through the different stages of the sales process. So if I think of something else, I'll say some digital marketing agencies are really good because they will get you as a marketer, for our audience, they will give you some content about technical SEO things you need to know, or the latest trend in design, and as a marketer you feel like you need this content and read it, and then they'll go back, they invite you to some small events, and they really follow you through the different stages until you become one of their customer. And then the thought of the after sale as well, where they really work with you on as a client on managing your own account. So I think they do it well. The latest trend in customer mapping journey, I'll say, like, first, more and more companies are looking at doing this exercise, and they also see it as a continuous process. So that's a good thing. In terms of data, people are more and more looking at the customer voice. So using social media listening, looking at commentary and including that in their analyses. And as other area of marketing, they go to the hyper personalized journey. So almost doing like a one-to-one journey and mapping that. What are the pitfalls to avoid? One of them is not segmenting your audience and trying to do an overall customer journey. So I would say it's one of the key points you need to do, and understand that not all your customer will take the same steps. And the second one is to consider that either a channel or a piece of content only works at one stage of your the journey. So I'll take the example of the website I'm working on at the moment. And it's clear for us that for our advisory service, people will come to the website once they are already aware of the company because of the recommendation. So the website is there further, is more like when they're considering us for our RFP, where they need to go on the website, check our credential, credibility, and are they gonna, then they move away and they'll contact the team when they make the decision if they want to do that. But for another services, the website is the first point of contact. So they will go, people will discover maybe, let's say through a search engine, some piece of content we've written that answer their question. And then they'll find us and go to the website first. And then they probably go out of the website, do their due diligence, looking at other provider, and then come back and purchase the product on the website. I mean, that's a pitfall. Often you will place your website somewhere and you don't consider it playing a different role in the journey. And so how do you get started? So I think I quickly touch upon that. Is like you will first define what the scope of the project, why you're what are you trying to find out? but also like the persona. So which customer are you trying to map the journey for, like to understand better? I personally will work with my client facings or like sales team and trying to understand with them how they see the journey and map what we think is the basic journey and look at the pieces of content we've created on and place them on the sales journey. I'll look at the different data. So I'll try to speak to customer. If I've got like some of my CRM data, which content have been, how people have interacted with our content, when did they move to the next stage? And then I will go back, I'll analyze it and I'll find one area of concern. So it could be people know us, they're aware of us, but I can see that leads are not moving after the consideration stage. And so then I will put my strategy on working in this area rather than try to tackle the full journey. And like I say, since it's a continuous process, I will go back, I'll work on that, improve it, and then I'll go back again and see what's the next action I'll take next time.
Anais Brell, thank you very much. Our fifth journey mapping expert is the director at Momentus, Sandra Fazakerley. Sandra, welcome to the podcast and over to you.
Thanks, Dave. And hi, everyone. As Dave said, I'm Sandra Fazakerley, a director at Momentus Limited. At Momentus, what we do is provide coaching, training and consultancy services, specialising in customer experience and engagement, team effectiveness and career and leadership development. But previous to this, for a number of years, I was Director of Customer Experience at O2 and responsible for customer experience strategy, customer experience design and delivery, which of course included customer journey mapping, the subject of today's discussion. So I want to start by saying that whilst this feels like something relatively new and in, it's not really a new phenomenon. It may now be called something different, i.e. customer journey mapping, but a bit like fashion reinventing itself, it's been around in other guises for many years. For those of us who remember the early days of process excellence or Six Sigma and other similar methodologies, the ethos was pretty much the same. What products, services, and experiences do our customers engage with us for or through? And how can we make them as efficient and effective for our customers and our business as possible? How do we understand the customer expectations of the process or the journey, the quality of the experience, where it works well, where it fails for the customer or for people managing the journey, or for overall business needs? And how can we maximize the journey opportunity and perhaps include moments of surprise and delight that elevate us for our competitors? At its core, this really is what customer journey design is all about. And I guess in those early days, if I look back, Virgin Atlantic were one of the role models. They were looking at their journeys outside in, not inside out, to use their own words at the time. They were one of the first organizations to really consider the emotions of the customer to help them design memorable experiences and increase customer advocacy. And they were hugely successful at it. Interestingly, they moved away from it for a period of a few years, but in the last sort of 2 or 3 years, they've gone back to really focusing on customer journey design. I guess what has changed significantly since those early days is the increase in channels through which customers interact with our services, the arrival of digital transformation and everything that came with a much more online, virtual or social experience. But the majority of our businesses wrestling with implementing and managing those new channels alongside the continued retail or site-based presence. Hence the arrival of customer journey mapping, with an elevated focus on looking cross-channel and cross-service. And it's really about integrated and effective end-to-end customer experience. I guess, of course, what we're doing from a business perspective is still trying to manage cost, employee effort, and maximising sales. And if I think about organisations who are doing that well in the customer journey mapping days here and now, financial services have particularly invested in multi-channel journey design, with some of the great examples in recent years, including First Direct, Nationwide, and probably Santander. If we look at the market, there are a number of consultancies and specialist businesses who provide customer journey design methods and are very good at it. If you want to buy in those services, either to kickstart or fully implement the approach. And many large organisations do just that. But it's not always feasible or affordable, particularly for small to medium businesses. And I don't think it has to be hugely complex. My view, which I'll talk you through, is there are some core components to designing and delivering brilliant customer experience that stand true, whatever the size of your organisation, and regardless of how scaled your customer journey approach might be. First, be clear on your objectives. For example, are you striving for ultimate customer satisfaction and advocacy, or maybe business efficiency and streamlining, or even channel optimization and automation? None of these are wrong reasons, but they will influence your approach. So don't pretend you're doing it for a purpose that's not real, or you won't achieve your objective. Next, and most importantly, deeply understand your customers and the different customer personas in your market. Even if you're focused on business efficiency as a priority, you'll find many useful insights in this element. And you'll have multiple customer personas, but it is really important to understand their different needs, expectations, and their frustrations. And then group the personas to a level that's appropriate for your business. I know some consultancies will tell you in their approach that you should get to individual levels of personalization, but come on, that's not always practical or necessary for small to medium-sized businesses. Next, walk in the customer's shoes through your processes, journeys, and interactions. Capture customer sentiment and how they feel at each point. Map the pain points as an absolute must and look for opportunities to exceed expectations in areas where you already have a good foundation. If you can involve your customers in this step, do it. Involve them directly in focus groups or whatever methods, you know, just can be online, but involve your customers in this step directly if you can. And then one that's often missed, but I think can make a real difference. Whilst you're mapping your customer experience, map your employee experience too. If you can understand your employee pain points and frustrations, as well as those of your customers, you are far more likely to achieve efficiency and increase customer satisfaction. And to top it, your people will feel really valued too. Next one. Set yourself some design principles that will hold true for all your newly designed journeys based on your strategy and your customer needs. As an example, should your journeys need to be effortless for your customers and your employees? If this became a design principle, you'll naturally focus on things like ease of channel switching and consistency of cross-channel experience, ease of getting help or contacting your customer service, and then ease of switching between systems for your people or simplicity of your internal processes and policies. Use all of your insight to shape the new design. Be really careful to look across all your channels and involve your customers and your people in the new design. And then test it with both communities. Revise it where you need to. Test it again. Make sure you're comfortable you've got the best experience possible before you launch it. Decide how you'll measure the performance of your journeys. You may not want to or be able to do journey level measurement, but set yourself a customer objective. For example, it might be increased customer satisfaction or an improvement in overall net promoter score, but have an objective that you're striving towards. And finally, most importantly, remember it's not once and done. You'll need to monitor regularly, review and revise as customer expectations change or your business evolves. I think they're the core components for me. And what I would say in closing is if you're considering embarking on a customer journey mapping journey, my closing advice would be start at the end by being really, really clear on the outcome you're looking for and what difference this will make for your business. Then decide how best to invest to achieve this objective.
Sandra Fazakli, you've made me feel really old by going back to our O2 days together, but thank you very, very much for
happy memories, Dave.
That's right, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And that's it. That's all for this episode of the Business Marketing Club podcast. Thanks to my guests, to Dickon Langdon, to Tom Ray, to Annette Curland, to Anne Bressel, and to Sandra Fazakali. And thanks to our technical team from Through the Eye of Scott Jackson, Andrew Gratian, Alex Horn, and Josh Bench. Most of all, though, thanks to you for listening. Do rate or review us if you can, and email me at davestevensnow@gmail.com if you'd like to be a speaker or offer feedback. There's more where this came from. Just go to businessmarketingclub.org.uk. I hope to see you again. Thanks for listening.